All right, good morning. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship with us this morning here at Barbie's Grove. And a good group here in the sanctuary, and maybe somebody out in the parking lot. And of course, there's always folks that listen in on the website later today or later in the week. And so we're glad that all of you joined together to worship the Lord together. It's good to be in God's house. It's good to, you know, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, especially as you see the day approaching. You know, the nearer we get to the second coming of Jesus, he says, the more we need to spend time together worshiping and getting ready for his appearance. Now, some of you are so busy that if the Lord trumpet sounded this morning, you'd say, could you come back tomorrow? I got too much to do. Could you get me on the next load? But I don't think it's going to work that way. I think you all got to be ready to go. It's great to see all of these Samaritan Purse shoe boxes stacked up here. And we'll be taking them this week to a place where they'll then take them on to Charlotte to the distribution center. If there's anybody that still has one that didn't get them back, then if you get them here Wednesday night, we may take these before Wednesday, but we'll try to take them. But we'd like to have them ASAP, as soon as possible. And we're going to pray over them. Now, last year, our boxes went to Honduras. And since I've been to Honduras, I know that there's a need there. And so we're going to pray over these boxes before they go. And I thank you for being a part of this. I thank you for blessing kids. You don't know what it's going to mean to some child when they hand them the box that you prepared. And they get something that makes a difference in their life. And we don't begin to understand. I've been in those countries where, you know, when they wash a few clothes, they hang them on a bush. They don't have a clothesline. They just hang them on a bush. And I wonder, do they get holes poked in them from the limbs and everything? And so they're so glad to get what you give. Father, as we bow before you this morning, I thank you for every one of these boxes that have been prepared. I thank you for the love that have gone into the boxes. I thank you for the sacrificial giving that's gone into those boxes. Father, I pray that the children in whatever country that receive them will know that they're loved and they're blessed. And Lord, I know that as they receive the boxes, they also get to hear about Jesus. And I pray, Father, that because they feel the love and they feel the care that we have and the anointing that's going to be upon these boxes as they hear about Jesus, that many of those children will come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we'll get to meet them in heaven and hear them say thank you for loving me when I was a little kid far, far away. Now, Father, as we worship you here today in this service, I pray that the Spirit of the living God will touch our hearts. Whether we're here in the building, whether we're in the parking lot, whether we're on the website, Lord, thank you that the same Holy Spirit speaks to each place, each one of us. And Lord, you know our hearts, you know our needs. May we receive from you that which we most desperately need. And Lord, we thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. As you know, last week was Veterans Day. We celebrated Veterans Day last week. I hope you had an opportunity to speak to a veteran and thank them for their service. Today, I want us to take a few moments and honor the vets that we are familiar here in our church and to recognize them. And Jeff, if you'll put them up on the screen, I want to go ahead and do that. The veterans that we want to honor today are C. Dane Barbie, Mark Coley, and their rank and all the branch of service is on the board there. Robert L. High, Justin Ray Keplinger, Rob Milano, Marvin H. Meggs, and Bobby G. Williams. Those are the ones that we have today to present to you. And as I said, if you know a veteran, if you hadn't already done so, please do that. And as we go along with that, and today in our hymn sing, we want to sing My Country 'Tis of Thee, and page 634. And it'll be on the screen. We'll do all four verses as we stand this morning and sing. My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrims' pride, from every mountainside, land free. Several announcements for you this morning, and as the pastor has already alluded to, the Samaritan's Purse boxes are coming along just fabulously well. I think what we count, 55 or 56 up here a while ago or so, somewhere along in there, and we had originally 60 to start with, so there are still a few out, and that for that reason, the pastor is saying that if you can just get it done by Wednesday night, then that'll be wonderful. And so please, if you still have a box out, get it here at the church by Wednesday night, and then we'll get these boxes on the way as they should be. The Baptist Children Homes annual offering is going on, and we want you to be prepared for that and continue on with that. And also, the week of prayer just begins on November the 14th through the 21st, and the theme of that this year is Let Light Their Darkness. So please, let's all be a part of these two offerings. They're very important, and you all have far and away exceeded for the last year. So let's even do better this year, and we can do it. There's no question about that at all. So Lionel, I believe you have an announcement you want to make this morning. So
Rick. Cream
Thank you, Lytle. And Jeff, I believe you have a video you want to share with us on the children's home, or is it on the other offering? Children's home? Okay.
I lived at Odom Home for 4 years, and I saw Odom Home as a beautiful place. And when I came here, I felt at home. I felt like I was safe and I was comfortable. My first night, I talked to my foster parent, and I told her everything that I've been through, and she prayed with me, and she hugged me. She told me everything was going to be okay, and then we read the Bible with each other, and then I fell asleep.
The children that we serve are children who are here because of crisis that has occurred in the family. Sometimes they may come in with nothing, and we want to make sure that they have what they need. We want to always make sure that they have something new and nice to sleep on and feel comfortable. Samantha is one of those young ladies that church and Christ mean a lot to her. And she has accepted Christ in her life. And the devotions in the cottage, the life that the cottage parents live are very important because they are role modeling. And so Christ being a part of their lives and helping to give them hope for the future is phenomenal for them.
That's whenever I started to get into a personal relationship with Jesus, because when we started going to church, the first church we went to was Berea Baptist Church and Bear Swamp Church. And when we got there, there was a preacher, Timmy, and preacher, Chris. They asked us if we wanted to be saved. And you know, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your heart starts beeping fast. So I came to the altar, and I sat on the bench, and I said, I need to be saved. That's when I decided to start living for God. I said, I'm going to quit the stuff I used to do before and start living for Him.
We have several churches that have been phenomenal with our kids, especially the Sunday school class, Save to Serve. They are part of Village Baptist Church in Fayetteville.
We've been involved with the children's home at Odom Home for about 4 to 5 years. As a life group Sunday school class leader, we were looking for opportunities to serve, and it seemed that the children's home would be a perfect fit for that.
The church, Village Baptist Church, Clement Baptist Church, Berea, and Bear Swamp, they helped us a lot. They bring food and supplies that we needed. They've been there. They did an Easter egg hunt with us. They brought pizza. They brought all the stuff that we needed. They do Sunday school every Sunday, and we read our Bibles with each other. When I needed to talk to them, they'd be there for me. So I was very thankful.
So yesterday we celebrated the graduation of 5 young folks over here at Odom Home. So exciting. We've watched them grow. We've watched them mature. We are so proud of them.
5 of my friends is myself, Malachi, Joanne, and Joseph, and Rachel. We sat down all together and chose out the colleges that we wanted to go to. Our number one top choice is the University of North Carolina at Pembroke because it fit our budget. And it was right here in front of the Odom Home where if we needed help, we can go across the street.
We had planned for some time in order to not only have the party, but to bless them with those things that college freshmen need, and also perhaps some things that they didn't really need but they might want. It was overwhelming, not only for them, but for us as well. To see it all come together, to see them so excited, so pleased and proud of themselves, and truly, I think they felt special. And that was really our goal.
Miss Vicky has been a really impact. She has impacted my life. She's been there like whenever I needed her. Every event, they've been there. And I plan on inviting her to my graduation. The Samantha 4 years ago was a little girl that was lost. She didn't know what she was doing. She was still within the trauma that she was going through. When she got to the Odom Home and she got within the ROTC program, and a lot of people came in her life to help her out, it really impacted her a lot. If I wouldn't have came to Odom Home, I wouldn't have got saved, because I still would have been the old me. If nobody, even though I was raised in a religious family, I wouldn't have pushed myself to the way as Odom Home pushed me. My dream at the University of North Carolina at Pembroke wouldn't have been possible because I didn't have the financial support. And actually, me being abused, I would have been traumatized where I couldn't, think to go to college. my accomplishments at school, I was able to get more into my leadership skills. I was able to gain more management skills and earn my scholarship, my 10,000 scholarship this year, my senior year. I was able to earn the rank of a captain within ROTC. I was able to get into the Beta Club, National Honor Society at school, and a lot of clubs.
I'm just so thankful for Kathy and her staff. I'm thankful that God provides the opportunity through the State Baptist Convention for our young people to have a place that's safe, that provides, and that above all, shares the Word of God.
I was able to get an education that I needed. I was able to focus on my grades when I needed tutoring. I was able to have tutoring when I needed to go to the church. They took me to church. They made sure that I had a relationship with God. And I thank God for everything that they've done for me.
You are missing the opportunity of a lifetime if you don't get involved with the Baptist Children's Home. It's an opportunity for us to share Jesus, an opportunity to make an eternal difference in the lives of individuals. And I wonder to myself, what is God going to do with them? I can't wait to see what He's going to do in and through them.
Know if you, as you look at that, we all should feel very proud, not of ourselves, but of what we're able to do with the dollars that we send that makes that possible. You all have ownership to that, and thank you all for what you do. Appreciate it so much. And I know you must be thinking now, oh my goodness, how many more needs are there? There's a lot. But those of us who have, God expects us to share. As my dad always told me, give something back, son, and you'll never regret it. And he's right. He's right. Jeff, I believe we need to talk now about a project for the Baptist men. We'll talk about our Boston butt sale that's coming up. So, Jeff, go ahead. I'll let you go ahead.
As y'all know, we're not able to do the barbecue this year under the circumstances, just like we normally do. But we did have what we wanted to do was to do pre-sale. Spread it around as best we can. But in order to do that and keep doing it this year, we decided to do the butt sale, and we can pre-sell all this. We don't have to worry about folks being scared of the COVID coming out. We were fortunate on the Ronnie Lauer benefit to be able to do what we did. We had to do it a little bit unorthodox, but it worked. This will be the same. The difference this year, we not only have Boston butts for $40, And understand that the price of porks went skyrocketed. We're also going to do slaw. So you can buy slaw by the pint or by the gallon. But we're going to pre-sell it as well. So I'm going to meet with the Baptist men at the end of the service, and I need all of them to come down there. They'll have sign-up sheets. So please buy one of these butts and take one of these sheets and sell some butts at work. They can come by Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 12 on December the 11th and pick their butts up. And you got food for that weekend. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. And so, Baptist men, before you go that way, come this way at the end of service, okay? Do that. All right. Are there any announcements? Yes, Winter.
Anybody is in need of firewood this winter, knows anybody who's in need, please.
Thank you, neighbor. I appreciate that. And let me tell you, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful gift you're giving. There's a lot of people can use that wood, and I hope they all come and clean it up winter. Thank you very much. Appreciate you and Chris doing that for the community. All right, if there are any other announcements? If not, let's go to the prayer request. I have some good news. Kathy shared with me a while ago about Miss Nail. Miss Nail's going to be coming back to, not home, but with you, right? And December the 21st, and she'll be leaving the Assisted Living Center there, and she'll be coming back and being there. So she'll have a new address with you, and I know you'll be ready for that and just excited to have her back. That's good. So let's consider that a praise report, and let's pray for Nell, and let's pray for Kathy, and pray for the family, because they're going to need some prayers as well, as adjustments are being made. Okay? Let's continue to pray for Bobby Williams. Bobby is still at home today and still having problems with some pain issues, and we talked about that this morning. And so let's lift Bobby Williams up before the Lord. Janice, I believe you're well, but we need to remember Bobby for sure. Okay, let's remember the Helen Gathy family, the death in the family there, Helen Gathy. Evan, you've got another trip coming for your hip, and let's keep praying for Evan. I called Evan last week and asked her how she's doing. She said she's ready to run a lap or two at that time, and I thank God for that, Evan. And she is a happy lady when I talk to her. And so, but you do have one more to look to, and we know God is able. And let's lift Evan up for that. Let's pray for Jewel Hatley as she's adjusting to the loss of Charles. She's taken it very, very hard, and let's remember her. And those of you that have lost loved ones, and as we all have, I've not lost a spouse, so I don't know, understand that. But let's pray for her. The loneliness has got to be the issue and setting in, so let's pray for her. Let's pray for the family of David Werich and Wayne Udy, the family of the Wayne Udy family. That family is related in directly or indirectly to Greg Edwards' family, and so Greg, we're going to lift that family up as they mourn the loss of loved ones there. I will ask about Aunt Bertie. How is she doing? So,
it's day by day.
Yeah. Yes.
And, just keep her in
prayer.
Okay.
When she can't find things, and because things just land up in all kinds of places now, when she can't get up and remember. Okay. Let's remember Aunt Bertie. All right. Anyone else? Any other prayer? Yes, Lori. Who, please? Sam, oh, goodness.
She's got stitches in her leg inside and out, and they've got her arm in a sling, and she's just had to sit and work there this week.
Okay.
And then the family of Logan Drew, y'all are familiar probably with Tommy and Tina Ross, but girl.
Is that Green? Logan?
Broom.
Broom, okay.
That's their grandchild, 17.
Okay. Okay. Let's remember that family as well. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you today, Lord, we come to you as a needy group of people. But Lord, we know that you're able. Lord, we know that you're an awesome God. And you know exactly what we need. And we're going to ask you, Lord, to feel blessings today, but before I ask you, I thank you. Thank you for being God. Thank you for knowing all, seeing all, and doing all for us through your Jesus Christ. But Lord, as we begin now, as we think about the needs that are among us, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you'll fit a blessing to each lives that we're going to mention today. And Lord, I know if you fit a blessing, that fitting will be perfect. And so now, Lord, we lift up the following people. Lord, we pray for Nell as she's coming home with Kathy. We pray for Miss Nell and the family. Bobby Williams, as he's still battling pain, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would take that pain away and give healing to his body. We pray, Lord, for the Helen Gathy family who lost a loved one. We lift them up to you. While we give praise for Eva Ann and we give praise for what you've done for her already, Lord, we know she has another procedure to follow, and we pray for her now for that as well. And then, Lord, as we pray for Jewel Hatley today, we lift her up to you, Lord, as she's lost Charles and the family. We pray for the family to her. And, Lord, we ask, Lord, that you would help her through this time of loneliness. The Logan Brown family, Lord, we pray for them. Then, Lord, we ask a special blessing upon the David Warich family, the Wayne Udy family, as they all lost loved ones, Lord, we pray. We lift up Aunt Bertie to you, Lord, this morning. Lord, we pray for her. She's such a wonderful child of God. She's one of yours, Lord. And we pray for her, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would touch her body. Be with those who are caregivers, Lord, as we pray for those, Lord, who all do. The family all works together so well, and we pray for them. We lift up Sam Talley to you this morning, Lord, as she's had an accident, Lord, and we pray for her. We ask, Lord, that you would heal her body in pain. And now, Lord, as we go forward in this service today, Lord, we want to be careful, Lord, to remember, Lord, that we lift up your servant to you, Lord, Pastor Ed. Oh, Lord, he's such a servant for you. He depends on your word and depends on the Spirit of God as he delivers the message. And, Lord, we pray, Lord, now that you would bless him today as he comes forward. And then, Lord, for our special music today, we're so thankful for Kathy and for Tonda. We pray for them as they come forward today and sing for us. And then, Lord, as our service continues on, Lord, we pray, Lord, if there be someone here that does not know you as their Savior, Lord, today would be the day. Help us, Lord, to be a burden for the loss. Lord, I just don't believe there's much more time. And, Lord, I pray for the loss. And now, Lord, these blessings I would humbly bow and give you all the honor and all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I have alluded to in our prayer, I have asked Kathy and Tonda to sing this song. I it's such a blessing. And it's Amazing Grace, Our Chains Are Broken, I believe is the name of it. Ladies, come and bless our hearts.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
All right, children, it's time to be dismissed to Children's Church. A little traveling music, Wes. Thank you, ladies. That's beautiful.
Amen.
Just a blessing to know of God's amazing grace. Don't deserve it. We don't earn it. He gives it. Offers it. We just receive it. We ought to be saying thank you, thank you, thank you, day after day. Let's start today where we left off last week in Matthew 16. I want to talk about the church. And in Matthew 16, we won't read all of the verses 13 through 19, but you know, it's that situation where Jesus and the disciples gathered at Caesarea Philippi and they ask him, he asked them, well, who do men say that I am? And they start saying, well, you're Jeremiah, Isaiah, another one of the prophets. And then he says, but who do you think I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the verse I want to focus on, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, last week we looked at a part of that verse. This morning I want us to just think about the fact that Jesus said it's his church. It's his church. He said it's my church. Now, sometimes preachers get a little conceited. It's my church. No, it's not. Some churches, the deacons think it's their church, but it's not. Some places we think, well, it's the members' church. No, it's not. In some denominations, it's the denomination's church. No, it's the church that belongs to Jesus. Amen. And if we ever miss that, we've really messed up. We ought to always be aware that the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, after all, he bought and paid for it. Scripture says, we are not our own, we're bought with a price. Yes,
He paid a terrible price. I mean, sometimes we focus on the cross and the crucifixion, the nails and the spear and all of that, the suffering. But can you imagine the inner turmoil, suffering of a person who had never sinned, to suddenly have some way imputed into his body the sin of all the people of all time, forever? How nasty, dirty, sinful he must have felt at that moment. I think the physical suffering of the nails and the spear and the crown of thorns paled in comparison to suddenly have all of this ugliness placed upon him. He paid a terrible price for his church. Now, notice also that he said he will what? He would do the building. Now, that's what I was going to think about for a little while. What did Jesus say about his church? First, he says he will build his church. The builder is the person in charge. That takes a lot of the strain and stress off of us if we really comprehend what he's saying. Sometimes as a pastor you say, man, if I just preached better, more people would come. If I could just visit more folks would come. If I was just a better pastor. And sometimes you feel like if we were just better church members. We put such a guilt trip on ourselves sometimes and we forget that he said he would build his church. He said, well, now preachers, that mean I just sit here in my seat and I don't have anything to do? No, you do your assigned task. I think about it in this relationship. I have three brothers. Two that have passed away, but my family helped build houses for all three of my brothers. Daddy did the building. I mean, Daddy, almost everything, he did the measuring, he did the sawing. Now, I can take a square and do that, but I can't take a skill saw and saw a straight line to save myself. It didn't matter if it's a 2x4, I can't saw a straight line. But I could go get the board that Daddy wanted, I could hold it while he measured it and sawed it, and then I could nail it where he wanted it nailed. I had my role to play in the building of the houses. And each of my brothers had their role to play in the building of the houses. Dad was the major overseer of it all, but we all had our role to play. Jesus said he would build his church. He's the major overseer, but each one of us has our own individual role to play. And your role is not my role. My role is not your role, but we all have our role to play. And you know, the Lord is so good and so gracious that he builds out of the available materials. You think for a moment, when those first settlers came from Europe and landed on the East Coast, what did they find? An abundance of trees. So what did they build? Log cabins. Everybody had a log house. That was the first places. What happened when they got to the plains? There weren't any trees. That's what shocked me. When I got to Tulsa, hey, you know, they had trees, just not as many as Albemarle, but it wasn't bad. But then the first time I went to Oklahoma, I thought, what is this mess I'm looking at? The trees they had, you know, you see out here in pastures and what we'd call here woodlands, it wasn't even worth pulpwood. No way you could have sawed them up and made lumber out of them. So what did they build houses out of there? Sod. They built sod houses. And they used some of that scrubby stuff to go across the roof to keep the dirt from falling in on people's heads. But that was all they had. Down in the Southwest, they used adobe brick to build. Men used what was available. And I think it's beautiful the way the Lord does that. It seems like he gathers people together in churches. And there are some churches that are just singing churches. It's just like everybody in the church has a good voice almost and music, and they put on elaborate musicals and just great. And then there are other churches that are mission churches. I know of a church that seemed like everybody comes through the door, sooner or later is out on the mission field. I mean, you go into church and 5 years later, well, now wait a minute, it's a big church. Where were all the people that were here when I visited this church 5 years ago? Oh, they're in Africa, they're in Brazil, they're in here, France. It's a mission church. There are other churches that are discipling churches. They're just growing new believers. Back years ago, I knew a church. It seemed like it was a preacher manufacturing factory. Every time you turned around, young men were saying, I'm called to the ministry, I'm called to the ministry, I'm called to the ministry. In fact, the preacher got in trouble. He kept trying to let these young guys preach on Wednesday night, and they finally said, preacher, we're going to fire you if you don't start showing up on Wednesday night and not let all these young guys preach all the time. You're just laying down on the job. But they were just turning out preachers all the time. Other churches have a passion for certain other ministries. Now, for the number of people that we have at Barber's Grove, this is a great representation of shoeboxes. But there are other churches that they're individual families that. One family that will do more than we've just done. I know a lady that last I heard, she was between 250 and 300 boxes. When that church sends theirs off, they start immediately. There's some folks in that church that have learned to make jump ropes, so they make jump ropes. There's some folks in that church that make what they call pillowcase dresses. You know, if you had a pillowcase and you cut a hole out and you cut two armholes out, it's a dress. Well, now they don't use pillowcases. They just use any kind of fabric that they can scrounge up and they make all kind of dresses. And as soon as people, as stores start having the after Christmas sale, anything they can find for 70% off that will go in a shoebox, they start buying. They have closets full. I talked to somebody this week and he said, you know, said my living room looks like a Dollar General store. You see, the Lord brings together and he builds his church out of the available materials for a particular community. And it doesn't matter. God knows what's needed. And we just fit in. We just fit in as Jesus builds his church. Not only does Jesus build his church, Jesus is with his church. Remember over in the book of Revelation, chapter 1? Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and behold, turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Jesus standing in the midst of his church. And if you look at chapter 2, verse 2, I know thy works. And if you look at every one of those seven churches, Jesus said, I know what's going on. Now think about it. Jesus is with his church. And he knows the heart of the church. He knows exactly what's going on in every church. And he cares about his church. He loves his church. And he sees the good and the bad. The church at Ephesus, he saw their labor, their patience, their intolerance of false doctrine, but he saw that they'd lost their first love. Smyrna, Jesus could see their tribulation. He could also see that they were struggling with a fear of future problems. At Pergamos, Jesus could see the demonic activity and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans that was trying to influence the church and lead the people astray. At Thyatira, Jesus could see their hard work, that they were dedicated to works of charity and to serving people in need, that they had patience and excellence. But he also could see that there was a woman named Jezebel who was undermining God's people with doctrines that endorsed loose living and sinful morals. At Sardis, he could see the church that had enjoyed a strong beginning in faith, but their steadfastness was slipping away. At Philadelphia, he could see a church that had many opportunities and open door, but he said that they needed to hold fast in challenging times. And Laodicea, he could say nothing good. They weren't hot or cold, and he rebuked them for their self-sufficiency. You see, Jesus knows what's going on. Now just think about it for a moment. If I stopped right now and gave everybody in here that's over 10 years old a clipboard with a blank sheet of paper and a pen and said right on there what Jesus would say about Barbie's Grove Baptist Church, what would you put down? Think about it. What would you put down that's positive? What might you put down negative, if there is any? What would you say, not my opinion, not your opinion, but what would Jesus say is characteristic of Barbie's Grove Baptist Church? Would he say, hey, those folks love one another? I think so. Would he say, those folks have a heart to minister to others? I think he would say yes. Would he say, some aren't growing as fast as they ought to be growing spiritually? I think he would say that. Only you know what comes to your mind. But Jesus knows the heart of this church. He knows it better than I ever will. Because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus knows our church. And Jesus wants this church to be all that it can be. Jesus builds his church. He's with his church. He knows his church. He prays for his church. Now, in that verse 13 in Revelation 1, he talked about a clothed with a garment down to the foot. And in the Greek language, the whole picture is of a priestly robe. You remember when, at the very beginning in the wilderness, when they made the tabernacle, there were special robes that were made especially for the priest. And this is the picture that's being painted here of Jesus clothed in a priestly robe. And Hebrews talks about he's a high priest forever like unto Melchizedek. And what does the priest do? He stands between the people and God. Hebrews also said he ever lives to make intercession for us. Think about it. This very minute, Jesus is praying for you. Jesus is praying for our church. How awesome it is to think Jesus is praying for us. He is our great high priest. The Bible says he's our high priest who understands our infirmities and our temptations better than we understand them ourselves. Jesus is our high priest who's praying for us. Then turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Verse 23 says the same thing that we said a moment ago. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Discount that about the husbands and the wives. They're just talking about Christ being the head. But then he goes on to say in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. We already talked about that. What? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus purifies his church. Jesus is purifying his church. That's the whole point of Revelation 2 and 3. Those churches had good things going for them, all except the last one. But they had bad things going in their church, and Jesus is telling them to strengthen, build up. He's encouraging the good, but he's saying, deal with the bad. Deal with the bad. Jesus is purifying his church. Unfortunately, not every building that has a sign out front that says church is a church. There are places that say church, but the doctrine that's believed and taught in those churches is so anti-biblical that they're no longer a church. There are places that have sign out front, church, but the sinfulness that's believed and taught and practiced in those churches, the immorality, the ungodliness, it's no longer a church. Jesus told the church at Laodicea, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I don't want anything to do with you. And this is not to discourage us, but to make us aware that Jesus is purifying his church. One of the saddest, and there are a lot of sad places in the scripture, but one of the saddest is when I think it's over in the book of Matthew, near the end, where Jesus is talking about the second coming and the judgment and those things, and he says, many will come in that day and say, Lord, we preached in your name, we cast out demons in your name, we did miracles in your name. And he says, depart, I never knew you. Isn't that sad? But there are folks that have so departed from the Word of God, they still talk about Jesus a little bit. But because of the sinfulness and the departure from the Word of God, they're no longer a church. Now what's sad is that there may be some true believers in their church, in that church, and those true believers will go to heaven. But sometimes a person gets caught up. My great granddaddy went down to the creek and made the bricks that built that church in 1492 or whenever. I preached in a church in Virginia when I was in seminary that, you know, one of the deacons, he was telling me, you know, my granddaddy or great granddaddy or somebody did that very thing. He said, went down to the creek just down here behind the church and made the brick that built this building. And I thought, well, you know, what's God done since then? I mean, it's wonderful to have that kind of heritage. But sometimes a person gets so caught up in a church that they just let the sin around them, you know, like Lot down in Sodom, says he was a righteous man, but man, he just let the garbage and sin around him. And he didn't get out. And sometimes we have people like that. They're in the dead churches, sinful churches, ungodly churches. And they just so stuck in it, they don't move. Jesus is purifying his church. And what did he say there? That he's coming. He wants to sanctify it. He wants to cleanse it by washing of the water of the word. He wants it to be a glorious church, not spot or wrinkle or anything, holy and without blemish. Jesus is purifying his church. And I believe that as the nearer we get to the second coming of Jesus, the more we're going to see. One group's going this way, and there's another group that's being purified and becoming more biblical, becoming more Christ-like, becoming more loving. And they're going to be the pure church that Jesus is going to come and rapture out of here. Now, I realize today to be a pure biblical church runs against political correctness, runs against what a lot of sociologists are telling us, what a lot of educators are saying, what a lot of politicians are saying. But quite frankly, I don't care. The only person I'm looking to hear a well done from is Jesus. Jesus himself said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, I'm not running for preacher of the year from the Chamber of Commerce. I'm running for, well done, Ed, from Jesus. And I pray that's what you're doing. You're not running for church member of the year or deacon of the year or Sunday school teacher of the year or whatever, but you're running for a well done from Jesus. He's purifying his church. He builds it. He's in the middle of it. He knows what's going on. He's purifying it, getting it ready. And then notice one more thing there. He says in that he will present it unto himself. Verse 27, he will present it unto himself a glorious church. Think about that for a minute. It's like maybe in a few minutes when the service is over, some of those little kids may come running here. Look at this picture I colored. Grandma, look at this picture I colored. Daddy, look at this picture. They're so excited. Look at this trophy I won. Jesus is going to have a pure, glorious, holy church to present all the angels in heaven, all the inhabitants of heaven, all the inhabitants of hell, and all the demons will stand back and say, wow, look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus accomplished on the cross and in the resurrection, in the building of his church, making it pure and holy, and for all of eternity, mankind is going to be in awe. The world and all the universe is going to be in awe of the church that Jesus lays out before the Heavenly Father and before himself. I pray that you're a part of that church. I pray that every person listening to my voice is a part of that church. I pray that your heart is so into that that you want Barbie's Grove Church to be exactly like Jesus would have it to be. We're not trying to please the association. We're not trying to please the denomination. We're not trying to please anybody but Jesus. That's all that really matters. It's his church. We need to do our part in helping him build it. I'll take just a minute to share this illustration. My son, before he went into physical therapy, used to build rock walls and patios. And I mean, you know, he didn't make this money, but some of them were $100,000. And those of you I've shown pictures to, you say, wow. And some of those rocks, you know, like this big, and some of them this big. And there's places where, you know, there's a rock the size of your fist that fits right in. And because he has an artistic eye, when you stand back and look at it, you think, well, every rock's right where it should be. Well, you may be one of those big Billy Graham rocks, or you may be one of those little rocks. But when the Lord builds his church and he puts you right where you need to be, when he puts our church right where it needs to be, we're not one of those mega churches with 10,000 members, but when we fit into what the Lord's building, it's a part of something that's going to be an eternal wow. Glory to God. Look at what he has built. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And would you just ask the Lord to help you be what you need to be, to fit into the place you need to fit, to build. Help the Lord as you do your part to build the church at Barbie's Grove. Would you ask for purity for yourself, biblical knowledge and wisdom? Those who are listening or those who are online, do the same about the church where you attend. May you be a part of that pure, holy, beautiful, beautiful, glorious church. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit who guides and gives wisdom, who directs our paths, who empowers us to serve, who gives us a passion to serve. Now may the Lord keep you, the Lord bless you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, to give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.